Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy, unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey, everyone. Today, I'm joined with David Ferrugio, and he is with Dead Talk Podcast. Guys, I found him because of the near-death experience stuff that you know I love, but he does so many other things. Like, he talks about grief and loss. He talks about child loss, mental health, and addiction. He does talk to psychic mediums. He does a lot of really good things for a lot of people that need help. So, David, without further ado, hello. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. We made quick work of this and made it happen pretty quickly, so I'm excited.
We did. You had some of the best questions I've ever heard when someone interviews. I'm telling you, it's amazing the things that you ask. And interviewer to interviewer, kudos for that.
I appreciate that.
So listen, now I know, unfortunately, and we talked earlier, I know you lost your dad to 9/11. And again, I'm so sorry to hear that. Do you think that inspired you to do this podcast?
Yeah. I would remove the word think and say it definitely inspired my podcast. My dad died in the World Trade Center. I was 12 years old at the time, and I don't even think podcasts were even a thought at that time. So yeah. It wasn't exactly something that, you know, just manifested a few years later or a couple of years later. Obviously I was young, but I've kind of always had this weird feeling. I don't know how else to describe it, that I feel like I'd be talking about my experience, but not even so much my experience, just all that comes with losing someone at a young age or just loss in general. Yeah. And I'll try to make it a shorter explanation. Sure. But I always felt a little bit guilt, a slight guilt that every anniversary I would always get the text messages because people always remembered September 11th. It was a pretty prominent date in American history, let alone global history. And I would always get that recognition and kind words that I'm extremely grateful for to this day. But it just made me think of the people that lose their father, brother, sister, whoever on a regular Tuesday, that people just, it's not a date that's going to be implanted in people's memories. So it was a weird contradiction that I felt I wanted to give an outlet to share other people's stories. Yeah. Of course, while chiming in and sharing my own story, that comes along with the podcast and what I'm doing. But it's ultimately just sharing other people's experiences around death, grief, and just all things death related. So it's a very eclectic conversation. Yeah. But my initial loss definitely inspired this platform, of course.
Absolutely. And I know in your intro on your podcast, it talks about, you know, death talk is kind of taboo and a lot of people want to talk about it. But I do think it's important.
Yeah, of course. And I personally, I believe that for quite, not always, because it took me some time to come into my own with this conversation and my comfort level, et cetera, et cetera. But having had this platform for quite some time, I'm very grateful to have created this, to be a part of this community and have this, you know, a fair amount of people listening and following. It just made me even more aware of how many people there really are in the world that are open to this discussion and want to talk about it.
Right. Absolutely. And I love that you're spreading awareness about it. So how do you feel that's different? I mean, knowing you, you know, you've lost your father, unfortunately, you've grown up, you've become an adult, you come into your own, you've got this podcast. When you talk to people about grief, does it change you? Does it make you evolve a little bit more about grief?
Yeah, well, it's everything. I don't know if you have a drink in your hand. If I tell you everything, it's going to be way more than this phone call. But other than that, it's changed a lot. But it's not so, like, people ask me, like, oh, it must be healing for you. Mm-hmm. And it absolutely is, but it's not so much with my grief. You know, my dad died 23 years. It's been a while. It's been over two decades. My own specific place, as it's been so long, I've had my time to reflect, heal, et cetera. But this conversation has helped me with my general perspective on life. It's helped me with coping with whatever we go through in life that has nothing to do with biological loss or grief, just the day-to-day, you know, things we deal with, relationships, stress, X, Y, Z, you name it. And that's why this conversation is so more than just, it's not just about grief and death. It's about life. This conversation has really opened the door on how to see the world differently, how to, you know, live your life differently, and how to essentially just get through anything with the same mechanisms that I've learned that people apply through loss and grief in life. And it doesn't just stop there with, okay, the way this person handled their loss or their whatever traumatic experience they went through, it's the mechanism that they teach about their perseverance and their personal stories. Mm-hmm. You can apply that across the board with anything you go through in life. And I think that's the beauty of it.
Oh, absolutely. No, I totally agree. And what a wonderful way to say that, because, you know, my own husband lost his dad when he was 13. So I think I can kind of understand. I mean, I wasn't him and I didn't go through it. But it's a big loss, David. It's a big loss in your life without one parent that could have been everything to you as you were growing up, such a mentor or whatever the case may have been. Do you feel like you lost that chance, or I don't know how woo-woo you are. Do you think there's a way that you can contact him on your own, or do you talk to him, those kinds of things?
I think I'm pretty high up on the woo-woo scale, if I had to create a hierarchy, but... Yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah, I believe in that stuff. You know, I come from the school of skepticism where, you know, I don't believe anything's absolute until we, you know, we'll find out one day. But I personally believe there's something after this, whatever that something is. I've heard too many stories on my own podcast. I've heard personal anecdotal evidence from people I trust and know that, you know, either are religious, aren't religious. It's just people that just have these experiences. And it's one of those things where, you know, it's all anecdotal and just people sharing stories. So it's not going to hold up in the court of law. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. It's just what resonates with you, what you believe in. And me personally, I've heard so many stories about, you know, other people being able to connect with either my dad or the other side. Yeah. I haven't per se been able to tap into that, though I think we all, you know, have that ability to, we could hone that. And I think some people just are more natural with it and all that. But I haven't been able to tap into that. I've had, you know, very interesting synchronicities that have happened that make me think, oh, that could have been a nod from my dad for sure. So I've had like one or two, like one very impactful story that to me meant it was more than a coincidence. But beyond that, I haven't had that personal experience outside of talking to mediums. Yes. But yeah, I think that whole other invisible world is for sure something.
You know, and that's so funny you say that because, you know, near-death experiencers are probably one of my best or highest downloaded episodes because I think you and I were talking earlier and they all have like three core things that they talk about that are all the same, but they all have such different experiences, which why would they all have the same exact one? You know, everybody that passes, they have different experiences just because of maybe their religious background or maybe the lack of, you know, and it's just incredible to me because to me, you know, doctors can explain it away. And I get that. Listen, I think there's a little bit of that going on too. You know, I'm open to all of it. But also I'm thinking, you know, when they say the other side's more real than here, it's like a dream. This is like a dream, you know, and I'm just like, how is that possible? And then another person will say, well, your soul's eternal. This is a blip in the world. I mean, when somebody says, you know, we're like living in a dream and reality is on the other side.
Maybe. I don't know. It's weird. It can go either way with that. I think if someone says that, it's like, okay, then does this really matter if that's all it is? But you know, with all the near-death experiences that I've heard, it's like you mentioned three themes. I'm actually curious for you to recite what those three themes are on your end. But in regards to you mentioning how you know, some people have different experiences with near-death experiences. Well, the episodes that I've had and the people that I've spoke to, there's a lot of differences, but then ultimately there's a lot of similarities in the end. It seems like there's a foundational, synonymous, overall encompassing message or that comes with it. But it's almost like the introduction part, like what they see when they first are starting to cross over seems to be extremely different. And an episode I just had with a woman by the name of Amber. I asked her that question. I was like, how come some people just, they're all ending up seeing the same thing or going to the same place, quote unquote, why are they so different? And her explanation was, but kind of correlates to what you said about beliefs. It is that it's like, okay, so when you first start crossing over, it's almost like an easier way to do it rather than just going to the other side and experiencing and seeing it as it is. It almost would be too shocking. So it's like you do kind of enter in with what your biases are, with what your beliefs are, absolutely. If you believe it or not, this or that, you may see that in the initial phase just to ease you into the process of crossing over, which I thought was fascinating.
Yeah. And you know, it has changed my mind on how I feel about death and dying now, because I've talked to so many. And well, the three core things you asked, three core things that I remember they all say the other side's more real than here. They didn't want to come back. I don't care if they just had a baby, just got married, they were young, they didn't want to come back. And that God has nothing to do with religion. Now, he's all about everything else that we've been taught about God and Jesus. He's just not about the actual dogma of religion. And they've all said that to me, too.
Yeah, I mean, personally, when it comes to the whole, I guess, human perception of that, I think they're two totally different things. I think, you know, spirituality is personal and something that it's harder to define. And then when you get to religion, which is just institutionalized and, in my opinion, is based on control, I think that they're two completely different things.
Yeah, I do too. But, you know, I do understand why some people find comfort in it. And I think if you find comfort in it and it feeds your soul, by all means, do what feels best for you. So when you're talking to these near-death experiencers, do they ever talk about abilities when they come back? Have you talked to them about those kinds of things? Or do you just pretty much talk about the death experience?
It's whatever comes up, kit and caboodle in regards to what their experience was before, after, during. So it's, there was one episode that's unreleased that I spoke to. Her name is Kristen Clawley. I'm kind of forgetful of the exact abilities. I just know she came back. She's like, it was kind of a near death. She was put in a self-induced coma.
Oh, wow.
And she doesn't like kind of lean into like the near death per se, but she had like these three very interesting dreams, one of which seemed like she went deep into a past life. And when she was, I guess, someone completely different, and when she was there for, she's like, it felt like literally like I lived like an entire lifetime. That's how long it was.
Yeah.
And these other kind of prophetic, really just realistic, lucid dreams that she's like, I don't know what it was, but it was extremely realistic for me. And I came back with way more intuition and just abilities to see things differently. So I don't recall if it was precisely, you know, mediumship or anything like that, but she came back with a totally different radar and ability to tune into things.
Right.
And then I think another one, a woman who came back, she already was, had a mediumship in her and was kind of had those abilities. But I think when she came back, it was almost even more honed and came back even differently. So I have heard plenty of those stories about people coming back with some extra stuff.
Yeah, and it's so interesting. The one you had, Rosemary, that's one that I think one of the most recent ones you just released. She actually came back healed from, I believe, cancer, correct?
Yeah, that one's, that's a whole nother thing.
I know.
That's some wild shit that she apparently came back. She had, I forget what stage she was in, but she had cancer and she came back completely healed. And the doctors, she did like an extensive 3-4 hour study on her body and whatnot just to see what was going on. And they were like, you literally have zero trace of cancer. If I didn't know you even had cancer, I wouldn't even have said you had it.
Yeah. And it just kind of gives validity that there is a higher power, I think, on the other side. And to me, it's like, well, let me show you what I can do. Let me just show you what happens. Because my husband thinks this is all a bunch of caca. I'm telling you, he doesn't believe in any of this. However, he's so supportive of me and loves that I do this and is so proud of me. So, but he grounds me and he's so good at just being so supportive that I have enough for both of us, you know? So, I mean, with my podcast, you know, I talk to, you know, psychic mediums too. When we talk about like ghosts and stuff, and some of the conversations we've had has totally changed my mind, even on that, even on how ghosts work. Have you talked to anybody about those kinds of subjects?
Sure. That's a conversation that I would like to have with people. I think I've reached out to some people. I haven't had too many quote unquote ghost stories, but I've definitely had plenty of conversations that perhaps would be easily aligned with that. Like I had a medium on my show. Her name is Mallory. I'm not sure if you know her, but she's got a pretty significant, she's pretty popular on social media.
She's a psychic
medium.
She's on TikTok.
So she shared a story. I was just asking like how she discovered her abilities and able to cross, like see the other side. And she mentioned some stories. She came from like a long family lineage of witches or something of the sort. So when she was a kid in her bedroom, apparently they were running some kind of seances in the other room, like and not doing it in the way she explained it. It's like they were not doing it right or doing it in the way that they should have been doing it. Like they were just figuring it out. But when she was, I want to say six, like definitely very young, she remembers seeing a man at like the edge of her bed and it like scared the crap out of her, like went under the covers. And then he kept coming back. And ironically, I guess maybe the same night they were doing the seances, but also she was like, I don't think they closed the door. So he might have just like kept kind of like just popping in, but then she realized that he was kind of harmless, this or that.
Yeah.
So she kept seeing this quote unquote man, which I guess you can, you know, in today's standards say a ghost, and was having conversations with her. And that was the first experience that she had. So I have these stories of apparitions and whatnot, but I just haven't labeled them as ghost stories per se.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes with ghosts, and she was incredible. I loved that interview with her, by the way. With ghosts, I think there's so many different things that they can be, if that makes sense. Like, I think sometimes people just don't want to go to the other side or don't know, maybe, too. I think that's more rare than we think. I also think some people, it's just a residual, their energy's here. It's like playing a tape over and over, like Gettysburg, those kinds of things, right? But I also think we're fragments of our higher self. And I am Leslie, you are David, but you have a higher self on the other side that stays on the other side and is a representation of all your lives, right? So what's to say that a fragment of me can't stay behind and maybe even gain a sentient consciousness, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's fascinating. And, you know, simultaneously, the rest of you is operating on a different dimension, doing some other shit.
Yeah. And, you know, and what's funny is when I was talking to that episode you listened to, her name was Mo. She was talking about ghosts in her basement. Her parents put her in the basement when she was young. And she was just like, holy crap. And I was just like, okay, what did you do? How did you handle it? And, you know, but we start talking about the actual ghost element part of it. And she goes, you know, it was so weird. You know, everybody always says, you know, you hear the crashing, you hear the banging and all the things, and you can tell what it is. And then you go to look for it. Nothing's been touched. Nothing's happened. And I kind of, I don't know if you heard this part of the podcast, but I said, you know, you wonder if it's like in the movie, The Others, like we're their ghosts and there are ghosts and it's just a different timeline or different dimension. So in their dimension, maybe they did unpack those Legos and made the big noise that you heard, but in your dimension, it didn't happen, but you could hear it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. That's my thought or theory, however you want to say it, is everything's operating here is just slightly different frequencies, yes, and dimensions, that it's just like a very thin veil. So sometimes maybe it just crosses over a little,
yes,
bit.
Yes, yes. And that's what I mean about, you know, has your mind changed about any of this? Like, has your mind changed? And I'm going back to death again. Has your mind changed? Were you afraid of death? Are you not afraid of death?
Yeah. I mean, I've always been pretty open-minded, which, yes, I think has led to me having these conversations, whether I believe in things. Like, I like having conversations, whether I believe in it or not. Like, I'm a big believer in listening to someone who's, yeah, on the exact opposite side of me. And I think that's the only way, dialogue is the only way to learn more and, right, see the other person's perspective, whether you agree or not. It's okay to disagree as long as you just, you know, it's important. And I think, so I've always been open-minded enough to hear these stories and just explore them and dig even deeper, even if I still don't buy into it. Like, I want to understand, sure, why you think like this or how you figured this out. And just, it's just interesting to me. But in regards to my perspective, I've just heard some, like, these near-death experience stories. I never really listened to too many of them before having the podcast. So we'll hear all these theories and then see these consistency among the different people and different books that I've read. So it's opened my mind to, like, maybe be more stronger believed into certain theories about what happens after. Like I always thought, like, hey, maybe there's an afterlife, but I don't know what the heck people are doing there. And then I started hearing more about spirit guides and those duties. Yeah. And like I was like, what the heck? I never knew what a spirit guide was. And I was like, oh, that kind of makes sense. Like, yeah, like guardian angel, same kind of, yeah, thing. It's just different terminology. So, like, again, I've always been open-minded, but now I'm starting to get, like, I'm honing in on what is resonating with me more as to what happens next. And so, with that, to parlay your question about fears, like, I think about it, it gives me a little bit of a weird wave of anxiety once in a while when I think, yeah, about all this stuff. But then, I don't know, then I try to have more fun with it and be like, we're locked in on this roller coaster, whether we like it or not. So it's a part of just being like, all right, let's go for a ride, because, right, I have no other choice.
And isn't it just fun to evolve? Isn't it fun to just go, you know, I didn't think, yeah, about it like that. And that was David's perspective, or that was Leslie's perspective. And I think God's kind of curious. And he's like, I want you to go down and just have a blast. Make it a journey. Make it an adventure. People are like, oh, my life is terrible. And I'm like, well, if you think it's terrible and you continuously say that to yourself, it's probably not going to be great. But if you go in with a gratitude, you know, don't be wrong, I know there's a lot of horrible things going on in the world. I'm not discounting that. I'm just talking about people that can actually listen to this podcast and hopefully get something out of it. If you can just decide, I think a lot of stuff in this world, David, is about choice and intention.
Yeah, I think it's all choice and intention and a little blend of just kind of letting it all go after you make that choice and after you portray that intention. But yeah, we have choices with everything. And the number one choice is, there's a book called Man's Search for Meaning with Viktor Frankl. And it was him surviving the Holocaust and trying to understand why some people, you know, there's really nothing they could have done, obviously, but then, right, some people had the will to survive. And it was, he had meaning. He was able to find purpose and had found something to live for. And that's something that just is internal. And I think with those choices and intentions come with how we choose to perceive things and how, yes, we choose to do and how we speak to ourselves. Those choices and our intentions all start from the inside. And even with all the crazy stuff that happens in this world, that's undeniable. It's horrible and this, that, and the other, but if you choose to focus on, not ignore it, and I'm not saying just ignore the reality of what this world is, but you can choose, and with these intentions and with those choices, see life in a different light. And with those perspectives, we essentially create our reality in some way.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with you 100%, because, you know, barring depression or some major disease or whatever, you know, I do think a lot of this is a choice. And you made me think of something. I interviewed Mary Helen Hensley. She was also a near-death experiencer. And she was one of the first people I interviewed. And I was confused because I didn't know all the things about near-death. But she said something to me. She said, you know, when I figured out that I didn't really need the body anymore, because I was still young. I was 21 years old. And I was like, didn't you like think to yourself, oh my God, I'm too young to die? And she goes, no, you look at your body and you're like, no, I don't, that's just a heap of nothing. You know, I can't believe I thought I was Mary. You know, I'm so much more. And I was like, okay. And I said, well, what about all the turmoil that people go through, you know, like the Holocaust or you losing your dad or whatever, right? And she said, you know, I think most of the times we come down and we say, I would really like to know what it would be like to lose a father. I would really like to know. And people are like, no, that's victim blaming. I don't think that is what it is. I think we're here to evolve. I think we're here to learn. I think God wants our perspectives.
No, I agree. And I've heard that several times with, again, Amber specifically. She's the most recent on my head. Yeah. And other ones, that the whole purpose of this is to learn. And I think, and even just from a humanoid perspective, yeah, like, I understand quantum physics is a thing, but I have no idea how it operates. Right. Like, sure, I know, but it's like, so it's like, think about it that. It's like, when I think of, there's so many things that, like, I don't understand how we're even talking right now. We're so far away and we're able to just have this clear conversation, yeah, like in the other room. There's things I understand are there, but I don't understand it. So if I extrapolate that into, okay, potentially a whole nother existence, a whole nother afterlife and different dimensions and this, yeah, and that, it's just so incomprehensible to me. So it's like, yeah, from our simplistic human emotion and weird perspective, weird beings that we are, it doesn't make sense why anyone would choose to suffer. But okay, maybe we're just we're such a blip, like you said, that we just can't comprehend it. And so, like, once we get to that side, we might have this, like, oh, okay, that's why, yeah, I do want to, from a human standpoint, it just makes, yeah, no sense why we would put ourselves to suffer. But, like, if I'm just kind of throwing the feather to the breeze and letting it happen. So I'm like, I don't know. This is just, again, this is what it is. This is the evil, the violence, the horribleness has been here since the dawn of time. It's, yes, always been here. So I'm not saying it's to cop it out, but my point is that with that, it's like, there's so much to look forward to. There's still so much good with this earth, yes, and this world, even amongst it all, that, I don't know, just look at that and then just do your best to navigate through this and be there for people. And then what else can we do?
Yeah. You know, when we pass, I've heard we lose all that human emotion and all that human anger and all that stuff, right? We're just perfect beings. We're just light beings, all about love and all that. So when you're up there deciding to come back down, you're like, I would love to know what it's like. That would really help me along my journey. That would really I get my PhD for God, whatever it's called. I don't even know. But this is also why we have alcohol, David. Okay. So,
yeah. No, but it makes, I mean, it's like, this is a terrible example. I'm not comparing this, you know, the traumatic experiences and violent stuff that happens, right, in the world. But yeah, I mean, like, even like as a human, we put ourselves, like, this is people that, like, I like to put myself through tough situations. Granted, okay, we're not talking traumatic, horrible things, but yeah, like, there's a reason why I go to the gym and I put myself through very comfortable situations to work out. It's for the improvement later. There's reason people do cold plunges. Again, it's not comparing this to real life traumatic situation, of course. I'm just saying, on a smaller scale, we do things that are difficult because you know the potential outcome and the lessons we're going to learn from those difficult situations. So I think if we just extrapolate that to a grander, incomprehensible scale, yeah, there is a reason to experience all these horrible things because it's going to later evolve us into something even more special. And this whole life thing, maybe it is really just literally a simulated boot camp. And to go through the boot camp, to go through the hell week, whatever these Navy SEALs go through, yeah, in order for us to level up into whatever's beyond this.
Well, you know, it's not easy here. It's a really bad camping trip. We both know that. But, you know, it's it's just not great. I mean, there's some wonderful things that happen. I mean, I've been married 28 years to the most wonderful human I've ever known in my life. And I couldn't be happier. But, you know, that's not everyone's life. And, okay, well, how come you get the good one and I don't get the good one or whatever it is? Well, maybe I did have a really sucky life before and maybe this is a resting life. I've heard that too, where you decide to, I did have a crappy childhood. I'm not going to lie. And we won't get into that, but my father was very abusive, but I've made peace with him. And even after death, And I told you that I talked to my mom, my listeners know, and I talked to her and I'm like, you know, hey mom, how you doing? And we'll talk and I'll just let it come. And I, whatever comes to my head, I know that's her because I'm not making anything up. I don't let myself do that. I just let the words come. And that's our connection. I know. And it's so weird because it's like, what are you doing? You know, I told you my psychic friends were like, just talk to her. She's there. She's literally the incredible invisible woman. She's right here. You just can't see her physically. That's all that's happened to her. You know,
so, when you're doing that, it sounds like your voice, or like you. Like what is the actual logistical process of these conversations? Like, what are you hearing, seeing? What is that?
Yeah, good question. Okay, so what it is like at first it was kind of like it's like a download more. You just hear. I don't hear anything because I. It's hard to explain it, so I just say I hear. It's words that just come to me, but it's like a download. Like I'll say, hey mom, you know, we're trying to sell our house, right? We're trying to sell our big house. We moved to our country house and, you know, mom, help us sell the house or whatever. And I heard her the other night go, it's fine. It's going to sell in time. Don't worry. You are worrying too much about this. And so I'm like, oh, okay. You know, thanks mom. You know, and then I'll say, well, so, hey, what's going on with you? What are you doing? And she told me that she helped two young children who were in a bad situation, I guess, tragic. And she helped them pass. And she was the friendly face they saw when they passed. And I was like, that is so cool.
That's remarkable.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. It's not like, because I don't profess to be psychic. I don't profess to be a medium or a channeler. But for some reason, I've got this connection with my mom and I trust what I get. And that's the hardest part, getting past the trust part. Do you see what I'm saying? You have to trust yourself. Otherwise, you think, am I just making this crap up? Am I making this up? And I'm not. This is not me. I just let this go. And it's amazing. I'm so much closer to her after she's been gone. And even my father, I've made amends with him. And now he helps me.
Well, it comes to the point of like, obviously, so there's plenty of people I've seen on my own social media with the episodes I've had, how divisive these conversations are. And sometimes divisive in a combative sense, but to me, like, divisive just doesn't have to be a bad thing. It's like, oh, you believe in that, I believe in this. Has it been a good experience for you? Yeah, if you're healing, if you're feeling good about it, then good. And like, that's, I think those are two different things. You're like, is this real? How important is it to know that it's real? But if it feels right, it feels real to you, then rock on. You know
what
I mean?
True.
Like, yeah. I'm like jealous. I wish I could just like hang up on you right now and just go talk to my dad.
Could. You absolutely could, David. I mean, and like I said, it didn't happen overnight. And I did have to just finally go, mom, if you're really there, I'm going to say what you would say to me. So I said, hi, mom. And I said to myself, I said it, hi, sweetheart, because that's what she would call me. Hi, sweetheart. And I said, okay, well, mom, if you're really there, what do you do all day? And I heard, I'm a greeter. And I'm like, what the hell is that? You know, so, and I didn't even know that was a thing. And then my psychic friends were like, yeah, she's a master at that. That's amazing. You have to be pretty high up to be a greeter. And I'm like, okay, thanks. I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, that's from, yeah, she's like a heavenly hostess.
Yeah, she is. And it's so funny. But you could, David, you can absolutely, you know, just start talking to him. You will be amazed at what will happen because they're right here. He's right here with you. He's nowhere else. It's not like heaven and he's like thousands of miles away. It's not, they're right here with us.
Yeah, and I believe that. I should have reworded it. I'm saying I can't, like, I just haven't. And
yeah,
I don't think I've been disciplined enough to like truly be consistent with it, because I do have conversations with them in regards to like me just, you know, attempting to talk to him and it feels fine, but I haven't had that voice back unless I'm overthinking it. Like, I think I have like this weird little barrier, like this little spiritual barrier up, which is like odd because I'm so open-minded to this, but I think there's maybe just some things I gotta massage out energetically or just whatever the heck that means, and that's kind of like preventing it. And I think I just get too heady with it as opposed to just trusting it and letting it go. And
just, well, you know, and ask questions like, hey dad, do you have a job? Because they usually do. From what I understand, they all have something they do. You know, they don't just float around and hang out. You know, I mean, they do visit us and all that. And it will take a while. It's not going to happen overnight. But I'm telling you, David, the stuff my mom tells me is amazing. And I can actually validate it, too.
Are you doing it? Like, are you doing it like just I'm cooking breakfast. You're like usually meditating or in bed. Like, what is your process?
I've gotten to where I can talk to her anytime now. But before, like, my husband would be asleep because he can fall asleep in 4 seconds, and I'm so jealous. But I would just lay there and just quietly. It's not a meditation, but just a conversation. Shut my eyes. You know, I'm tired. You know, so sometimes I would just fall asleep because we all do. And I would just talk to her, and I did it night after night after night, and I kept doing it, and I didn't get anything for a while. You know, and finally, I think she was like, I think she's ready to hear from me. I'm going to do this. I don't ever see her. It's none of that. I told her, I said, I don't want to see you, Mom. That would scare the crap out. No, I don't want to see you. I love you. Don't want to see you. And so I did that. And I'm telling you, it's so crazy how it works, because it really, and I hope all of my listeners listen to me and really get this, because they can do it too. Anyone you've lost, it doesn't matter who it is. You can do this. Anyone can do it.
Yeah, no, and I believe that. I think it's just, like, again, some people are just maybe more in tune, or just have, it's just like anything in life, they have certain natural abilities that I've learned, even like other mediums or people that are psychics or whatever abilities you may have, like they still work on it. They still evolve from it and get and improve just like anything else. So I think, again, we're all built with these abilities innately in us. I think it just takes more practice and whatnot for everyone to do it. But I don't see why everyone else can't do it.
Well, yeah, and it's so funny because I'll be talking to my friends and they'll ask me questions, and my mom will pop in and go, like, a friend of mine said, hey, I'm having a difficult time with this. And my mom pops in, and I didn't even realize it. And I was just like, I kind of stopped for a second. And I got a little download. Oh, well, Mom says you need to drink water, and you are staying up way too late, and you're putting too much on yourself. And that's thanks to my mom. There you go. I know. And I let it come, you know? And
then I wonder if this is that communication, the way you're doing it, which is clearly, like, I don't know, you and your mom should have your own podcast maybe. But there's the conversational aspect of it, but then I think there's like little nods. Like, have you seen the clip that I posted in regards to my story at the 9/11 museum?
I don't know. No, if I haven't seen that.
So this is, if you don't mind me sharing, I'll try to make it quick. Sure. But me and my ex-girlfriend at the time, we went to New York City for the first time together. Like, I'm from, born in New York, raised in Jersey.
Yeah.
And we had nothing planned in the city. I usually take the ferry to downtown, which is close to the Financial District, close to Ground Zero and the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
And we were walking, but we were super close to Ground Zero. And I was like, hey, you've never seen the 9/11 memorial. I've been there a million times, so don't go for me. Like, if you think you want to see it, like, I'm happy to, like, we'll go there. And she's like, yeah, I would love to see it. So we started going into the museum again, unplanned, didn't have anything scheduled, just walked in. And there's a section in the museum where they, I guess on the loudspeaker, they read the names of the victims from family members that have read it in the past, from like decades of readings they do every year.
Yes.
So this was on a loop. I don't know how they organize whatever. So it's random. Obviously 3,000 people have died just from that day. And there's every year there's new people speaking. So there's a lot of different people that have read the names.
Yes.
And I think my mom did it. I know we did it 1 year. I don't know if she did it twice, but 1 or 2 years, maybe just 1 year. So we just walk into this section. And as soon as we can, like, it's audible just to hear that they're playing something, I listen, my, like, antennas go up. I'm like, that voice sounds familiar. And all I hear on the loudspeaker of the memorial is, and my husband, David Francis Ferrugio. I was like, oh, my God, we just walked in.
What?
At the exact moment my mom was reading my dad's name. Out of thousands of names, out of 20 years of reading the names, we just walked in at the exact same moment that my mom was saying. And I recognized, like, it's like, it's loud enough, but, like, you still, there's a lot of things going on. So just to walk in at that moment, it's one of those experiences for me, like, we both got, like, the chills and we're, like, blown away. And it can easily be, like, okay, and of course, the law of averages, yeah, it's quite possible you just happen to walk in. I'm not denying that possibility, but it was just so, I've been to the museum so many times, I didn't remember that area where they were reading the names. It was just, like, that moment, we happened to walk in. If we hesitated for a split second in our decision to even walk in there, if you're like, you know what, should we go? Maybe we should be, like, debated for another split second longer, we missed that. You know what I mean? So it was, like, the divine timing of walking into that place with her. It was this very special time to share it with her, and it was just all-encompassing, just, like, I don't know, it just always stuck with me in one of those moments, like, was that a nod? Was that, you know what I mean? Was there something there?
Oh, listen, that was total validation. You know that. I mean, come on.
This is that's where my other my other side of my brain is like, it meant a lot to me regardless. And that's where, you know, the meaning we give anything we do is enough.
It really is. And, you know, if you can get past your own self-doubt about it, because I had such self-doubt when I was talking to my mom, or when I tried to start talking to my mom. And then I finally just got over myself and was like, you know, she's just my mom. We're still connected. I mean, it's not like she passes and I no longer have a mom. I don't have a mom physically here, but she will forever be my mother. So why can't she forever just talk to me still? And she does. So there you go.
Well, there you go. This is a different angle of what you were just saying. This is more off the grief. But yeah. there's a quote that says, "Grief is just love with nowhere to go." Yeah. And I always disagreed with that quote, because in relation to what you were saying, like, you still have a relationship with your mom, is like, yeah, I'm just correlating the two different thoughts. But the quote that says grief is just love with nowhere to go, I'm like, no, yeah, I don't agree with that. It's like, I still love my dad.
Right.
The love didn't disappear, even though he's not here physically. I still have this whatever relationship with him, or just, I still love my dad. So it's not, grief isn't just love with nowhere to go. Like, maybe grief is love because you love so much, therefore it hurts so much. But it's like, no, like, even if the thought that, yeah, okay, grief has to go, the love has to go somewhere else, which I don't believe, it's like, my love for the way I live my life, the love for my mom, my sisters, my nephews, my nieces, my friends, the people in my life, the love does have plenty of places to go for me personally. And I'm blessed to have these relationships. And I know not everyone has these relationships with family or has a lot of people in their life. But, like, your love for the person you lost doesn't just disappear. It's different. Right. It's a different form, yes, physically, and as we are in these meatbag suits. But, like, the love is just eternal. And it's not, in my opinion, what grief is.
And love is your connection to your dad and whoever else you've lost. Love is the connection right there. And I tell you, we're gonna have to keep in touch, because I need to know if you do it, because I tell you, you'll have to do it a few times, but it's life-changing. I feel so much more connected to even my own dad, and he was abusive, and he's not like he was here. You know what I'm saying? They lose that human thought, that human crappy bullshit stuff. they lose that, you know? And then they go, oh, okay, maybe I derailed a little bit, you know? And, you know, maybe I need to do, because I do think everybody goes back. I mean, I don't care who you are. I think there's lower frequencies of the areas. I don't think there's a hell. Because I did ask Dad, I said, where are you? And he told me he was in solitary confinement. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. And I was like, what? And apparently he goes, yeah, you know, he went through a life review. This is the download I got. And because my mom talked me into talking to him, because I didn't want to talk to him. I don't want to talk to this SOB, you know. She goes, well, I thought you forgave him. And I was like, well, I did. She goes, just talk to him. And so a couple weeks later, I tried, couldn't get him. Finally, I got him again. I said, Dad, where are you? He goes, I'm still here. I'm in solitary confinement. I'm like, okay. I said, well, do you feel God around you? He goes, oh, I feel him all around me. He's everywhere. We are all part of God, all of us. And I said, well, why are you still there? And he goes, because I'm healing myself. And I just feel that this is what I need to do. That was kind of the download. It's not like we have these conversations. It's just the download I get from him, that feeling you get.
I've actually heard that. I forget who, where, maybe I read it or heard it or someone told me, yeah, but I have heard the exact concept you just mentioned.
Yeah. So, and it's all about, it's all in your mind. And I know, listen, I could talk to you forever. I could talk to you forever. So I probably have to have you back. So David, tell everybody where they can find you, all your social media. Let's get the word out. I want my listeners to listen to your wonderful podcast.
I appreciate that. Anyone listening would love if you check this out. And if not, it's literally all good. but we're pretty much everywhere. You can watch your full episodes on YouTube. You can listen to it on Apple, Spotify. Nice. Again, the show is called Dead Talks, two words, Dead Talks Podcast. It's on Instagram, Dead Talks Podcast, YouTube, Dead Talks Podcast. So look it up anywhere. It should pop up. And if it's not, then I'm going to have to chat with Google. But I appreciate your time. And hopefully some of your listeners check me out. And again, you're a blast. This is actually kind of cool to do it on a phone like this. Like, this is so much more nonchalant. And just, like, I feel like it's just a long conversation that I've had with, like, my best friends on a phone.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad. Well, listen, I'm low tech, so that's good, right?
Yeah, this is awesome. And it sounds great, too. Like, when I listen to your episode, I was like, oh, this is so much easier.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I don't have to worry about being on the internet. And I don't have to worry about dropping calls. Well, typically dropping calls. So, you know, there you go. So, yeah.
Yeah, this is wonderful. Again, I appreciate you reaching out and doing this. And I'm sure we'll connect again. I mean, we can figure some more stuff out to do
Absolutely.
Together.
Thanks so much for being on the show.
I appreciate it. Till next time.
Well, I love providing Because I Want to Know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist, and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again, and I will see you next week.